Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to Watch Less, Complex's podcast about movie and TV culture. This is Cal, Deputy Editor of Complex's Pop Culture Vertical. The homie Fraser Tharp, always there with me.
Sir.
We're both safe. You know, it's a trying time right now. You know, the murder of George Floyd, the protests surrounding that, all across America. It's gone from what's been like a crazy week. You know, a lot of things opening up, Corona, you know, concerns, but like the whole conversation shifted. And I mean, rightfully so, but it's been scary out there. You've been doing all right, Fraser, with all that?
Yeah, man. It's been a really mentally exhausting week for sure. And even to just think about, like, I had done an interview with Lakeith about a totally unrelated, but very related issue.
Yeah.
Like a week before.
Yeah.
And a week later, we're already, you know, learning a new name that we should have never known.
That's crazy. How fucking crazy. I don't need to know who George Floyd was. Unless
he wanted you to know.
Exactly. In a different world, he would have been a dude that lived his life somewhere and I would have lived over here and I would have never have known him. Now he is the name. He's the next name in a list of a too long list of names who are being taken out before their time.
You say that. It's like, so I saw a dude I follow. He's a photographer. Let's say he's like maybe 24, 25. Mm. So let's say the people that he was in a, not a thread, but one of those chains, those quote tweet chains.
Okay.
So let's say that, you know, maybe the people he was quote tweeting in that series were around his same age. They were all sharing like just the name of the person or the first name that they remember, you know, the headline really affecting them or really tuning into that story. And it was really sad to see just the long list of names. And then even worse to think that, you know, with the extra 4 or 5 years that I have on them, I could take that back to, you know, Sean Bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Even like Amadou Diallo.
I remember Diallo. I forget what year that was, but I was definitely in school when that happened. Damn. But you mentioned talking to Lakeith recently. I recently spoke with Kendrick Sampson, who plays Nathan on Insecure. If you didn't know who he was before this weekend, you probably saw it in the mix of catching up on the protests out in L.A. He was on CNN. He caught 7 rubber bullets. And he was getting whipped with police batons on TV. Like it was live. I spoke with him. He has an initiative that is mostly about mental health. Actually, he has an essay that he wrote for Complex specifically about mental health awareness for, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month, which, we just got out of. But it was crazy that I know they were working on getting that up on the site. And then that weekend, it's a totally different situation with him. He was in pain. I got to talk to him maybe like 15 minutes. He was definitely still hurting, but you know, that guy is very passionate about how he feels about the country right now. He kept stressing the idea of defunding the police and prosecuting these, you know, these killer cops. Those are direct quotes. He will tell you how he feels about the situation early. It was dope to see that. It was great to see guys like I saw Michael B. Jordan was out
in the mix.
Jamie
Foxx had a really great speech with Steven Jackson.
Yeah, shouts to Steven Jackson. He's been a real impact player, you know, in getting the word out and getting people behind the message and the cause of what's going on right now. It's sad that it has to be this way, though. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know, I can't remember a time when I was ever this glued to, like, Twitter in a really endless kind of nightmarish way. But obviously there have been days, but this has now been a series of days. And it just feels like, you know, you do one thing, you do some work or watch some TV, and then you're right back on the phone, just like in a black hole of
facts,
you know, fear and just uncertainty.
It's been, I think it's been interesting to just see how, I don't want to say that it's been like just another part of life, but like, I like Ferguson, Baltimore, there's these moments and these protests, especially when it comes to like, you know, riots and things like that, where I've spent nights, you know what I'm saying, glued to a Periscope or a Facebook Live. I did it last night because they were in Trenton. Somebody randomly threw a watch party link up over the weekend, and it was, you know, this guy just, there are people they were looting in and out of liquor stores and burning cop cars and things like that. It's one thing to see like the area, because you know, like, where George Floyd, that was Minneapolis, Minnesota. Yeah. You knew it was going to go down in Minneapolis. There's too much anger welling there. But then it just starts to spread. You know what I'm saying? And the closer it gets to home, the realer it gets. It's sad to say that some do have questions about the sincerity of some of the people who are participating in the protests, especially some of the people that are making it more violent than the organizers wish it to be. That was Kendrick Sampson's whole point. It was like they had a peaceful thing that they had people giving speeches and singing songs and things like that, and they kept it moving down the block, and they got to this one spot because he was looking for the rest of the people from his initiative, and there was a large, you know, aggressive police force, and he was one of the people that like ran to the front line to be like, you can't be, you know, brutalizing people like this. So you know, it's again, I can't stress enough how terrible it is that we even have to be dealing with a situation like this, but it's important, if you have a voice, if you want to take action, to just do it. You know, if you feel a type of way about this situation, there are ways to start to enact change, and I think it would behoove of you to make your voice heard, do what you have to do to support that.
Yeah, you know, it feels like it could be a very big watershed moment, and I just hope that it is. You know, like you mentioned protests from years back, and you've seen people stress voting later this year, but, you know, some of the stuff that we referenced were in years that we had Barack Obama and, yes, you know, much, much better cabinet and elected officials, and, you know, all of this stuff still went down. So, I don't know. I hope it takes hold this time.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed. We'll still see. I mean, and I just want to stress to everybody that it's early, you know, because don't forget, there's still going to be a trial at some point. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think people have to prepare themselves for reliving some of the facts of this case again, however many months down the road. I just want to stress that, you know, again, this is the beginning. This is really the beginning of, you know, this George Floyd, you know, murder situation, and it's going to take a while to play out. Just stay, you should have already been staying safe because of the coronavirus, but please stay safe if you are out in the field. I have no witty segues. I don't know how else to get out of such a horrific real life thing.
I just want to add first that people stay engaged too. You know, I think,
yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, I've seen a lot of white friends and non-black friends reach out to me directly, and, you know, just, you know, make their feelings plain on social. But and I don't want to accuse any of it for being performative, but I hope that it's something that they realize is something that needs to be maintained.
Yes.
Yeah. Well beyond this week.
Facts. And I mean, and I think you can tell, you can judge who's really sincere. Because I know the people that have genuinely reached out to me have been people that have reached out to me, you know, when this situation wasn't going on. But so, you know, I think, you know, shouts out to you know, the real people out there in your lives. I think stay engaged, stay informed, but just make sure you're taking all of the information in, because there was some dude on the news talking about how two black kids, but he was bleeding from the head, talking about bust upside the head. Come to find out, my man's had a bow and arrow in the intersection.
Yeah, they're out there with crossbows, swords.
The sword guy is crazy. There's a lot of crazy situations. Again, we're not a conspiracy podcast, so I can't get too deep into, you know, a lot of the theories that I'm seeing, but I would say, you know, stay informed, but know where you're getting your information from, because there are some people who are trying to flip information and to enact a certain reaction from you. Just be aware of things like that and consider your sources as you're traveling online. And, you know, the mute button works well. You know, block button works exceptionally well if you need it in certain times. But yeah, I just fucking stay safe, everybody. We don't need anybody else lost at this time. It's been a bad couple of months already. That's why we watch shows like Insecure.
Yeah, I mean, breaks are needed.
Breaks are needed. You know? I think. That was what Natasha Rothwell, who wrote this week's episode of Insecure, very good episode.
Yes.
That's centered on Issa and Lawrence. She made a note online basically be like, you know, don't ever think that anybody wants you to stop the fight, but know that if you want to take a break, if you want to just tune out for a bit, you know, we have something for you, you know, which I thought was a good way. That shit weighs on you, you know, especially if you're, thinking about that. I can't do it. And I've, again, been doing it for so long, just because of how old I am in America. And I know you're the same way. It's, you have to take some time to, you know, get back to like a normal, even if it's for a half hour. And again, Natasha wrote a great episode of Insecure to prop that up.
And I think Insecure is a great, you know, with something like this, a word like escapism doesn't even feel right to say.
Yeah.
And it also kind of just isn't true. Like, it's kind of hard to really escape from all this. But a show like Insecure that, you know, really celebrates blackness is almost like kind of exactly what the doctor ordered in an instance like Sunday Night.
You're 100% correct with that, Frasier. I think there are times when you need to laugh. There are shouts out to, you know, all of the content that's been created and has been waiting for us to take it in for times like this. This week's special guest on this episode is Yvonne Orji, who plays Molly in Insecure. She also has a HBO first stand-up special for HBO, Mama, I Made It. It airs Saturday, June 6th at 10 p.m. Eastern. She's a hilarious person. I didn't realize she was going to be as funny as she was.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, especially guys like you and me, like, we should clearly know the difference between the actor and the character. But, you know, for most of us, Insecure was our introduction to Yvonne, right?
Yes.
So there is going to be some, you know, subconscious association there. And especially in a season where, you know, Molly is coming off very brittle at times, very closed, very clipped, very cold, it was jarring in a really pleasant way to, you know, first watch Yvonne's special, which is great,
yeah,
and then talk to her, and it's like just the complete opposite.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
Very warm, very goofy.
She's a lot of fun. She reminds me of Rel. In certain ways, just
yes.
Like, you know, there's always, you can tell that both of their minds are always moving.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say she's very quick witted, and it made me sad. You know, I'm as blessed as we are that we can continue, you know, most of our jobs here, and right. Especially continue doing this and doing these interviews with people.
Mm-hmm.
It did make me sad that we weren't like in a room together.
Facts.
Because
facts.
I know that would have been great.
Yeah, but 100%. I think if the next time we get to talk to her, it should be in person.
Yes.
Maybe we'll have masks on at that point, but
socially distant.
We'll be 6 feet away. No, she talked about the special. She talked about, you know, because I didn't realize she was a comedian first. It sounds like that she went from I'm funny to I need to get known to let me, you know, start acting, get my face out there. And it seems like it's really working for. She talks a lot about her stand-up, but also gets into the back and forth between her character and Issa's character on this season of Insecure. Among other things, it was again, really fun conversation. Hope you guys enjoy it. Check out our convo with Yvonne Orji after this quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to Watch Less.
Yeah, so we just want to clarify that, you know, this interview that you're about to hear with Yvonne Orji was recorded about a month ago, well before, you know, the murders of Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and David McAtee. And, you know, and kind of in the spirit of Natasha Rothwell's message that she dropped this past Sunday ahead of her episode of Insecure, we kind of felt that, you know, distraction obviously is not the right word. I think attention is one of the reasons that a lot of this stuff is happening right now, or lack of attention, but respite is definitely important. And we felt like, you know, in the spirit of similar to Insecure, Yvonne's special is something that celebrates blackness, and we had a lovely conversation with her. So we felt that this would be a welcome respite from everything that's going on for those who need it, because that is important.
100%. Just take it as part of your self-care. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Yvonne Orji, the talented Yvonne Orji.
I know the grass is greener on the other side, because people are like, we want to be bored. For me right now, boredom is a luxury. Like, I low-key, I'm like, I want a day, maybe a week of, like, guilt-free boredom. Like, I just want to not, like, you know what I'm not going to do today? Answer my phone. My goals are real low. My goals are real low.
So are you staying busy? Are you writing or taking calls, setting things up? What's going on?
Frazier, did my publishers hit you up to put me on blast? Don't
let me get you in trouble.
Yes, I am putting the finishing touches on my book, which is coming out next year.
Wow, congrats.
Yes, you didn't like Blacks. You know, I'm out here just grinding or whatever, being an author. Yeah, it's called Bamboozled by Jesus, How God Tricked Me Into the Life of My Dreams. So, trying to inspire, let people know, like, I came from PG County, Maryland, Laurel, where, you know, sure, if you make it, you make it. Great.
Yeah.
But I do say there are a lot of athletes and comedians that come out of PG County, Maryland. There's actually a documentary coming out on Showtime about, like, all the great basketball players that have come from PG County, Maryland specifically.
Oh, wow.
However, for this Nigerian immigrant being in PG County, Maryland, I was supposed to be a doctor. I was like, yo, I had nobody's connections in Hollywood. So if I can make it by the grace of Jesus, y'all get this book so y'all can find out how you two can make it.
Talk about it. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, congrats on the book. Congrats on your first HBO special. That's always that's a blessing to see. And to see that, you know, dope that they spent money to actually fly out to Nigeria to, you know, get your homeland, see, you know, it was really cool to have the back and forth. Talk about
that was very,
you
know, dope.
Talk about the process to get in the special, as well as when in the conversation did you say, yo, okay, so, you know, we're going back to Nigeria at some point.
Let me tell you right now, I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to spend my whole career at HBO. Like, you know how, like, you taste nice things, you're like, ain't no going back. Like, we can't, like, what other network? And I will say, it wasn't a fight. I was like, guys, so this is what I want. Like, I wanna be able to go and interview my parents who live part-time in Nigeria. And so it could be like a docu-series / comedy special. And they were like, we love that. Oh, okay. So y'all just out here loving it. Okay, cool. Like, it wasn't a fight. They were, you know, HBO is one of those folks, like, they're not necessarily going to put out, like, 1,000 specials. they're going to put out like 5 dope specials and be like, yes. And because I mean, that's what they've been known for. Like they curate like experiences. And I think they were just like, I'm sorry, is anyone else doing this? No, we are bored, you know? And they were like, and we got the long money to make it happen.
There you go.
And, and it was just beautiful. Like it wasn't even, there was no back and forth. They loved it. They were like, okay, we got to figure out how much of the Nigeria piece gets in because we still want to see like as much of an hour comedy special as possible. Mm-hmm. But no, they were, I mean, even to the point where I was like, that backdrop was built. And I was like, yo, I saw architecture in Nigeria that inspired me. And I was like, I want the stage at the Howard Theater to look like back home as well. And they were like, so how much, what is the budget for this build out that's only gonna last for one day? And I was like, yes, guys, work with me. So they didn't know, like messing around with me, like I told them, I was like, it's gonna be a comedy special, documentary, and music video. Because it's like, because I got Chris Robinson to direct it because I wanted that like music video feel. I bring a lot of energy on stage. So I was like, I had this artist named Midlo create the theme song because I'm extra. And so I was like, when you see me on stage, I needed to feel like a concert before you get to the comedy show. Yeah. And they were like, okay, yeah, sure, this is your vision.
I will say, you were on stage up there and it was giving me Mary J. Blige vibes with the heels, the way you were stomping in them heels. You know, I was dying, but it was dope to see. That was
there's a lot really of holleration going on.
It's good energy.
Well, what's funny is I think in another life, not even in another life, in this life, my desire, again, my dreams be mad low. They look real high, but my goals be right here, like just real possibly attainable. I think I want to be like a backup dancer, hype woman for somebody. Like this is like, I don't have, Jesus knew he couldn't give me a singing voice because then I'd be a stripper. I don't know the course, but I feel like he couldn't trust me. Like he's just like, nah, we're going to have to keep you close to the cross on this one. And so I love singing. I love the hypeness of performing. I just don't have all the ability. So as much as possible, I'm like, like I wanna be on tour with DMX. I want me and X, they call me YMX. They're like, okay, we see you YMX, because I'm always dark man. And it's just, I got this hype. I grew up with 3 older brothers. So I think their hypeness kind of seeped into me. And I just bring high energy everywhere I go. So even on stage where technically you can be like, oh, as a comic, you should just be, it's just you and the mic and the audience. I'm like, I use all of me. And also as a Black female comedian, style is super important to me. And so that's why you're gonna see me in the Balenciaga boots. You're gonna see Lawrence Voss like created that, I call it my Khaleesi jacket. I was like, am I in Game of Thrones? He created the jacket, like constructed it, flew it to DC that day. Because I was like, yo, I want this to be a moment. Like, you know, it's when you see Black female comics, you're like, either they're overweight and it's like the only way they can be funny is if they're overweight. And it's like, that's not it. Or then it's like, they just wear t-shirts and it's like, the only way they can be funny is if they dress down. And like a lot of females are like, well, I don't want anyone to be distracted or to take anything away from my humor. So I gotta like, you know, kind of suppress my style or whatever to get my jokes across. And I'm just like, have you met me? Have you met Nigerians? We live out loud, okay? So I'm just, and I would always say when I started comedy, because I was super afraid of comedy when I started, I would always say, I was like, you know what? Even if my jokes bomb, my outfit gonna be the bomb though. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, if they don't laugh at me, they gonna be like, but she looked cute though, but she looked amazing. And so I always kind of kept that in my mind frame of just like, we gonna give them something to work with. So I appreciate the Mary J. Blige nod. But Africa's been dancing since before Mary J. Blige. Okay.
Facts. I think it was just, it was the heels and it was the stomp when you was cold.
Yeah.
You could have been up there singing, you know, album to Mary said, something.
Well, you said Khaleesi jacket.
The bad boy stomp. Okay.
For real.
So, you know, going from saying stuff like the Khaleesi jacket, is wardrobe a way that you get into the mindset of going on stage?
Oh, absolutely. Before I shot the special, I did a 12-city comedy tour, and each city I brought a different outfit. It was just like my signature definitely is short leather, like leather shorts and a jacket and like thighs out. Like, it's just like, you gonna see all of this is something leather and then the shorts and then either some dope sneaks. Like, I had these platinum Diesel sneakers that I love and they were fire. Or if I do shorts, then I'll do like thigh high boots. Like, so there's always like a jacket, shorts, and either, you know, boots or sneaker game that goes into it. But I like being comfortable. I don't really do a lot of dresses. I don't really do dresses on stage. So I move around too much. I'm like, I be pop locking, dropping it for no reason on the stage. And it's just like, I gotta be able to kind of do a Harlem Shake and, you know, a Mary J. Blige stomp without any problem.
Well, you talk about, you know, wilding out on stage. It was interesting to see, because I, someone like me, I didn't know about you until I saw Molly on Insecure. So I had no idea that, you know, you had, you know, a stand-up background. That's what you had been doing. Who were some of your influences in the comedy game? Because I feel like when I saw you transforming in and out of character, it's like, yo, is she rocking with the weigh-ins? Like, you know, where does some of, you know, that stuff come from?
Well, what's funny is I didn't even know that comedy was a thing. Like, I didn't. I grew up, and this is not even like a plug to HBO, but like, my first foray into comedy was sneaking into my parents' room watching Def Comedy Jam every Friday night. Mm-hmm. You know, because they were their room had the box. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Frazier, I don't know what era you were born in, but I don't know if he knows about the box that got hot. And it's just like, he was in my room. I'm like, now that's, you know? And it wasn't even that, like, I personally wanted to be a comic. I think it was just like, who are these black people on TV? And it was just like, oh, this is dope. I didn't know the art form. I didn't know what it was. It was just something that drew me, like, this is a black experience. And we lived in a black environment. And so I was like, I want to know what everybody else knows. You know, it's kind of the same way you watch Martin and Fresh Prince, and you have to watch it the day of, because when you got to middle school or high school, you can't be like, oh, I ain't seen that episode. Then you're out of the conversation.
100%.
For me, like, watching that Comedy Jam, I remember a Comic View. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Comic View, and of course, In Living Color. And again, it was just like, these things, you don't know it at the time, but it's like they're feeding your psyche. They're feeding a void that, like, we didn't even know existed. And so I remember the first time I did comedy, somebody was like, and I was like, this was one of those like, you're far too kind. If only, you know, this was the case. But they were like, yo, you reminded me of a young Chris Rock. And I was like, you know, wow. One day. And I, you know, it was one of those things like, you know, in my face. Like, I appreciate it. Has the Lord revealed this to you, you know? Yeah. But I liked how smart Chris was. You know, everyone knows his infamous, you know, they're black people, and then they it's like, they spit it. It's like, how did your mind go to even, like, talk about how black people put spinners on a toaster? You know, yes. Like, amazing. Or even just his classic jokes about, like, you know, strippers always paint their way through college. He's like, I've never met a stripper that's like, you know, the, and breaking down an equation, and it's just hysterical to me. And so when I actually did get a chance to meet him, it was like a full, like, draw the circle and then draw it again. That's how full it was to just be like, man, this was like my idol. Like, this is my idol. But Wanda Sykes, I love some more. Like, you know, I'm a pretty clean comic. Like, I don't, you know, outside of the N-word, I don't like use profanity in my sets. But some more was just so comfortable being herself, and it was just very like down south, very gritty, very like and it was just like, but I just loved her confidence. I think what it was I don't care, you're gonna hear these jokes anyway. And that was so dope. And then Wanda Sykes was funny to me, because she would always like pose questions and just like leave them up, like, is that what we doing? Okay.
I'm sorry. I loved you shouted out some more, because some more is from my hometown. So that's Jersey Pride right there.
She's bad too.
Yeah. No, she's a bad mom. She's a bad one. She's not a queen for nothing. Like, she's a bad one. People sleep on that though. But I mean,
she's one of those that you're like, man, she should have had a show.
Yeah. Like, definitely. Yeah.
And then we can't forget like the Kim Wayans. I feel like we can't leave out Kim Wayans. I don't know what happened in the 90s and the 2000s where like they only picked one to shine, and it's just like, are y'all not going to recognize the artistry that is Kim Wayans? Like,
yeah. But that's what happens. I mean, I imagine you see it a lot in Hollywood, you know, whether it's, you know, different roles for shows or films. It seems like, and you don't, I always struggle with it. I struggle even trying to put it into words sometimes, when it's like, you know, I love that they are getting the shine right now, but there's, you know, a bunch of other people that could do similar things, and you would hope at some point they would get, you know, put on that pedestal as well. But
For certain. Hopefully it comes around, because someone like a Regina Hall, she's a comedic gift. And I think she flew under the radar for so long, which are just like, she can literally do anything. She can do drama. She can do slapstick. She can do like nuance. And I'm just like, I'm really glad she's getting her shine right now. But like, this better not just be a moment. Like, she better be here to stay. Like, Cicely Tyson stay. Like, I see her to be acting in her 90s. Like, yeah, baby. Yes.
But it's fun. Actually, somebody asked me that on Twitter the other day. They're like, why hasn't Regina Hall, like, been to whatever level they didn't think she was at? And it's just for lack of, you know, watching her. She's been doing things. She was in Girls Trip. Like, she was the lead in that film. Like, you know, it's not
Brenda's Scary Movie too.
Facts. Like, it's not for lack of trying.
I hate the question. I hate that the question is put on her as if like she was the one holding herself back.
Yeah.
Like, didn't want to do pop. No, this was like, it wasn't like she was like, let me not give myself opportunities. It was just like, it's about how people see you to give you the work. It's about like, it's like, you know, now, yes, there's a new Black Renaissance. And so it's just like, who is great? Let's pluck from this well. But they've been great. You know, even think about Tracy Ross. After Girlfriends, it wasn't like she popped right away. There was a big gap, between Girlfriends and Blackish, you know, and she had Read Between the Lines, but like, huge gap between when Girlfriends ended and when Blackish started. And now it's like, Tracy Ellis Ross! Okay.
Jesus. We'll figure it out someday.
I don't think it's for us to figure out. I don't think it's for us to figure out. Because we already figured it out.
Facts.
Well, you mentioned talking to Chris and finally bringing that full circle. Have you had a chance to meet any other legends that you brought up and pick game from them and you know, build off that?
I want to meet Chappelle. Like, I want to meet Chappelle, bro. I can't even front. I want to meet him. Like Chappelle, I want me, Chappelle, and Martin. Everybody from the DMV. I want us to just like, hey, can we just get together and have lunch? Like, hey guys, excuse me. I met Martin on set. I interned as a PA or like a writer's PA on Love That Girl. Which he executive produced. This is a couple, like 2011, I think, 2011 or 12, and met him briefly, but I was like still green and new, like, no insecure. It was like, hey, I'm a huge fan, sir. How do you like your coffee? Like, it's just, you know, very quick, very brief. It was really like, oh, I'm from Maryland too. Okay, so with two sugars. Okay, got it. So that wasn't like a meeting of the minds like I would love to have like right now. I did meet Wanda Sykes. We had a photo shoot together. It was last year or 2 years ago. So that was kind of just cool. Just me being like, yo, I rock with you. I appreciate you. You're so dope. Thank you for also paving a way too for like smart, funny women. I think that was the other thing too. It was like, Wanda was smart. And I mean, there are so many people in the comedy world that I still want to meet, but I think there's so many people in the comedy world that are finding out that I do comedy, which is, I think, which is the big surprise. Like, even when I did my tour, I think people came off the strength of like, no, we've known Yvonne for X amount of time, but I think people came off the strength of like, that's Molly. Let's see what Molly got to do. You know, or Yvonne Makes Us Laugh on, you know, Jesus and Jalal on my podcast. So it was kind of like, well, now we're curious. But then afterwards, it was like, oh, this hoe got jokes. Oh, she was funny. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be dope to introduce people. Like, guys, the only reason low-key or high-key that I'm on Insecure is because Issa saw me performing comedy years before. Like I'm only able to be good as Molly because I was good on stage. And so I think it's going to be fun to introduce people to who I've always been.
100%. Yeah, we'll talk about that. I mean, I know it took a bit for season 3 and then now season 4 Insecure to come out. What was the time frame in terms of when you shot the special? I'm assuming there was also time earmarked to go back home. Like, can you break down, was that between the seasons or when did you fit that in?
It literally, we wrapped Insecure December 20th.
Season 4,
December 20th of 2019. Mm-hmm. And I was on a plane to Nigeria January 4th of 2020.
Wow.
And then shot the special February 29th of 2020. And it's coming out June 6th.
That's cool.
So we didn't anticipate Corona, but it was literally like, yo, I don't have a big window for a lot of things. So like we shot, I got the deal for the special, I want to say early 2019. I got a deal for the special early 20, like the deal closed and I had to take time to write the book. So I was like, I can't do a tour right now because I got to write the book. And then right after the book, we got to start shooting. And so it was, I literally had this window and it was like, if it don't happen between this window, it's not happening. And so God knew that the world was going to be shut down because literally we filmed the 29th and I went March 1st to start shooting a movie. And then March 13th, we were in quarantine. It was just like, there couldn't have been a delay anywhere because we would have been fresh out of luck. And so I literally got the last window to shoot a special, which was the 29th. It was like, God even gave me a leap year, y'all. He gave me a leap year yesterday and was like, this one you gonna do it, chick. And I was like, you got me good, sir.
He had you covered. Go ahead.
A dope note that I picked up in the stand-up and that comes up in a lot of your work is, you know, picking apart the nuances of the Black experience. So how important is it to you that we're not, you know, just kind of treated as monolithic almost?
Oh, it's so important. And you know what? I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day, because even like in thinking about like the marketing for the special, it's like, it's easy if you're a Latino, you're like, okay, we know that you're brown. Okay, but you're part of the minority community, but you're Latino, you know, Latinx. If you're Asian, it's like, there's that. But then it's like, I mean, but you're Black though. And it's like, I am Black. I am, however. So it's very interesting to differentiate like the African and Black experiences. Like we look exactly alike, you know, and it makes for interesting discussions because, and this comes up all the time, like, I used to have this joke and I used to say, because, you know, obviously I my mom worked at Howard, which is the great melting pot of the Black Mecca. It's like, if you Caribbean, if you Haitian, if you Black, if you other, you are in on the quad. Like, there's 18 different types of Black in that, like, Petri dish, right? And whenever, like an African-American would meet, like, a Nigerian or another African, like, oh, you African? So what, y'all think you better than us? And it was just like, But then our parents would be like, because the thing about it, our parents immigrated here. And so they would get cable images. So like cops, we get cops in Nigeria. So can you imagine if like the only thing you get from the African-American perspective is cops and like BET programming, right? You know what I mean? And that's not even a say, that's not even a diss, but it's just like, well, so wait, they're getting arrested for doing something. And then there's a lot of reality shows about like them fighting each other. Huh? So when we get to America, here's what you're not going to do. You're not going to be none of these people.
Stay away from them, yeah.
We need you to go to college. We need you to, you know, like, you separate. It's almost like separate yourself from them. Go in, get everything good that you can get, and get out, you know? Mm-hmm. But then you come here, but and you have to intermix, and you can intermingle, so you can't really have that separation. So it causes conflict, because on one hand, you are like, yo, I'm trying to go to college. I'm trying to get my degree. I'm trying to advance my life, not even for me, but for like the folks I left back who don't have health insurance, who, you know, who I gotta be the winner so I can help my village. So my desires are different, my motivation is different, but at the same time, I can't be like, I don't want to be like y'all because XYZ, because they're like, the only reason you get this opportunity is because of like the things our ancestors did. So it's kind of like we are not on the same page in terms of the socialization and the camaraderie of what it actually means to be both Black and African, right? Mm-hmm. African and American. And also, and then the arguments, you know, on this side is like, well, let a cop pull you over. What you gonna say? Don't shoot me because I'm African. And it's just like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Like, there's no distinction like there is with other minority communities. So, you know, for me, I have this lens of like understanding. And I think it's this generation that has this new lens of like, you know what, we can't really separate, but we do have to understand and appreciate that there is a difference, right? Yeah, and I think that both parties need to appreciate and understand, like, we're similar in a lot of ways, but I also have something that makes me different in another way, not better or less, just different. And once we can just be on the same page and accept and appreciate that, I think then we can start healing. I think then we can start having conversations. But how it works its way into my comedy is like, I have the dual lens of being able to be like, okay, you can crap on us on this, but I got something on you on this. And because I'm kind of like in that mix, and obviously with humor, it makes everything kind of digestible in a way that like, I'm not coming for you, but I do got questions.
Yeah. Now, you perfect segue in my eyes, because you talked about people being on similar or on different pages. Season 4 of Insecure. Molly and Issa, they are walking on
two different books.
They're on two different maps, on two different states and two different countries. It's been a lot. I know the conversation's been a lot on online when the show's going on. What was your reaction to first seeing the scripts and being like, damn, episode 1, she don't really mess with Molly? Like, what's going on?
I mean,
first
it's kind of like, What can I attribute it to? I'm trying to think of a song that just comes out like with the club banger, like right off the bat. You're like, oh, these are the lyrics? Like right off, like off the rip? You know, I had a song, but then I was like, oh no, I think he's canceled, so I can't really use it.
I feel you.
But it was on the tip of my tongue. I was like, well, for me. But it's like when you hear the rap lyric or, you know, or even Dreams and Nightmares, like, hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished? Like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know the beat was going to change like that. Okay. You know, so when I sat down and I read that, then I was like, and low key, I'm looking like, what are the rest of these episodes? Like, am I getting written off and I don't know about it? Like, what is my arc? You know, I say it all the time, like, you gotta let me know because I got a mortgage now. You can't just be playing with my money. Like, don't be playing with my character because that affects my mortgage.
I gotta make some plans if something's going a different way.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I gotta figure out, you know, if I am good on the pole. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is my So, I mean, it definitely was a different season because, you know, obviously Molly and Issa are the nucleus, and like they're the real relationship. But all the relationships they have with the opposite sex, like, hopefully that's the relationship that can stand the test of time. And it was hard filming the season because, one, we were separated. So not only like is Issa like in her own world, like, you know, Condola trying to take Molly's place or whatever, you know, God bless it. So we were separated. So she has her scenes with the Black party stuff that Molly's really not a part of. And then when we are together, it's all this tension. And I just was like, yeah, I don't like this. I remember one day, like in between scenes, I was like, yo, he said, we gotta figure this out because we can't be fighting every time, you know, we on set. Cause like, we like each other, like in real life, like that's the homie. And so, but every time we saw each other for the last those four months, it was all like, what's up? Yeah. Okay.
Damn.
I don't like this. This is not good.
Now, are you plugged in online, especially Sundays after airs, to the Twitter reaction? Because it's been very, very vocal this season, like almost heightened. Like, it's always been a timeline show, but this year has been insane.
Yo, you know, my roommate said the best. She was like, you know, Black Twitter's bored. They got time. You know, Black Twitter got all the time in the world. Like, there was one day where I was like, are they firing shots at everybody? Like, it was like a show came out, and then a battle came out, and then something else, and Black Twitter was like, I was like, oh my God, I think they need to go outside. Let's just open up outside for Black Twitter. Just give them a couple minutes of fresh air, because they got nothing but ammo.
Yeah, always.
Like you said, Frazier, it's I call it a captive audience. It's not just the audience. It's not just like, oh, you know, they are held captive. That's what I call it. It's a held captive audience.
No, it's good. They got enough food.
And so, you know, we live tweet every Sunday, every time. And I remember after episode one, because, you know, like, I watched the episodes before, you know, you spent 4 months with them and you read the script. So in my mind, I'm just like, okay, yeah. Like, I'm watching it, like, for my performance, like, okay, yeah, you know, you look believable. Like, you know how, like an athlete watches game tape? Like, okay, next
game
time.
Tape.
I'm watching it like game tape, right? Like, just because I already know the season. And it's like, I have the opportunity of seeing the whole thing to fruition. But I forgot that people are only just going to get the first episode. So I don't think I was prepared for the heat that Molly got. I said, oh my God. Like, I was so grateful that I had started therapy long ago, because I had to, like, remember, like, they're not talking about you. Again, like you sort of said, like, it's not you, boo. They're not talking about you. Okay? It's the whole character. Like, I had to hit up my therapist, like, girl, like, I feel like I've grown because I was able to separate the two. they came with firebombs. I was like, wow, y'all. Mom's been a ride or die for the last 3 years and one episode. Sheesh.
It's a wrap. Well, I mean, I guess that begs the question, you know, how do you feel? Do you think one of the two is right? You know, are you a little more biased because you play Molly on TV? Like, where are your allegiances at with this?
You know, I think the beauty of the show, and I think the beauty of what the writers do, is that they never give an answer. Mm-hmm. Because y'all are smart. We're never going to force feed right or wrong to you all, because life is not that linear. There's so many, like, when was the last time you had beef with one of your homeboys? And it was just like, no, but real talk, he was coming at me. His mama just died, so, like, you know, it's never that linear. It's like, you know, there's got to be room for, like, where are you in your life when you think everything he says is about you? You know what I mean? So it's kind of like what we're watching. It's like there are cracks that didn't get sealed up. And so now, because those cracks kind of, it's not like a windshield, and he's like, oh, okay, it's just a little, and then it gets cold outside. You're like, God, is this a spider web? Oh, no, that's my glass. Oh, God. And it just keeps going, and if you don't fix it, your windshield is going to cave. Like, and I think that's where they are, and that, unfortunately, that windshield is a friendship, and it always hits harder when it's somebody that, like, high key, you're like, no, we can't not let this happen. You know too much. You know, there's those friendships that you're like, oh, we're going to have to die together because you know way too much about me. This ricochet bullet is going to get both of us. And so I think they're really trying to figure out, is this mendable? And has it gone in the deep end? And who is at fault? And I think they don't know. I mean, I don't know when this is going to air. Have you all seen episode 5?
Yeah, yes. Well, that was going to be my next question. So, you know, going off that metaphor, what was it like filming the glass completely shattering?
Man, I was just so happy it didn't have, like, Molly and Issa trade blows. Because I was like, no. Guys, not what we signed up for. Like, I just was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, like, I can't. It was definitely, what's funny is somebody hit me and was like, just be prepared to not be liked. like after episode 5. And I was just like, what? They were like, they are coming for you. Yeah. You're not going to make it past episode 5. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, just be prepared to not be liked. So wait, when is this airing? So I can see if I can drop the name.
This is going to air in June.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. Around the time a special drops, yeah.
Boom. So after, Lovey called me, my friend Lovey, who I did the podcast with, she definitely was just like, Yvonne, they're not going to like you. In fact, me, I don't like you. And I was like, you're my friend. She was just like, Molly was wrong. Molly was right. And I was like, bruh. You know, and it's those little things where it's like, okay, might have overreacted, you know, but yes. I think it was that moment of, you know, she just was going to be selfish. She was going to get what she was going to get no matter what. Really? Like, that's... So you can just bypass me? Like, so me putting up this boundary don't really mean nothing to you, huh? You just going to... You're going to find your way to get your way regardless of how I feel, if I feel a way.
Right.
Well, we're going to have to figure this out like we do in Crenshaw. Like, you know, like... And that, and I think that's Molly's motivation. Now, if you're a perfectly healed and whole human being, you can watch it and be like, girl, just let your friend have it. Y'all can talk offline. Hit her up tomorrow and be like, so I really didn't appreciate what you did, and I think we might need some space. That's just how mature adults, you know, handle that. But I'm 36 with about a good year of therapy under my belt, so I don't know how to use my words. Molly be acting like she's double dutch in therapy. You know what I'm saying? Molly be in and be like, okay, cool. And then she be out. You know, she matter of fact, she double fisted with it. She the rope is landing on her foot. What did y'all think?
That was intense.
It was huge, yeah.
It kind of got me in a way that I thought we were good. And then yeah, like that creeping dread. It was like the insecure version of like the Red Wedding.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, ooh. Yeah. Yo, Frazier, I see what you're doing.
Save that. You can have that one for the tweet.
No. You have that one. Tweet it. Tag me on there. I'm going to retweet it. I got to give you props. I can't be copywriting. I'm right. I'm trying to be your author. I can't be copywriting other people's stuff. I did not look at it like that. But it was very like, dang, Molly, like, you want to do this right now? Mm. And the thing about it is, they fought in the past. Like, episode 1. Season 1, there was that fight scene in the car, but then, you know, it ends with the girlfriend's theme song. Yeah. And it's just, mm-hmm. just like, all right, we could. Then they fought, you know, season one, episode seven, with the whole Daniel thing. And mm-hmm. it was just like, I think that was the first fight scene that hurt me. I was like, oh, no. I don't know what feeling this is, but I would rather not. You know, like, yeah. it was too real. It was like, because, you know, it was like my first, the show was a comedy throughout. And then that was the first like dramatic moment. And you don't want to not be taken seriously as an actress. So I was like, I think I brought too much heat. I was like, wait. Oh, so we're not fighting in real life?
I know our time with you is almost up, but I have to ask, your co-star Jay Ellis got behind the camera and directed an episode this season. You talk about, you know, I know you're doing your writing, you're writing your book. Do you ever have any aspirations of writing episodes of TV, getting in the director's seat, anything like that in the near future?
For certain. Like, Issa asked, she was like, do you want to direct? I was like, yes. Like, even just getting my hands wet, my feet wet with the comedy special. I mean, I was involved. I'm a Nigerian. There's a baby on my back and a pail of water on my head right now. Like, I'd be like in the mix. Like, it's just... Yeah. Whatever we gotta do, we'll do. So even when we were in Nigeria, I was like, these are the shots I want. Like, I need it to feel like this. And da 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 da. And like, you know, all the street interview stuff. It was like, get him, get his reaction. And then like in the editing process, I'm in there like, and then we can cut to this and then blah blah blah. And then this. And so because you know, as a comic, you're telling a story and then you know how it's gonna end, but you also gotta figure out how you're gonna get people there. Mm-hmm. So it's like before you hit the punchline, you gotta tease them enough. And so that's kind of how I see creative things, creative projects. Like, I see differently. And I want to definitely be in a place, in a position to direct one day. I have a gang of shows I'm trying to sell and put in development. So definitely writing. I'm just low-key, I'm just trying to create enough stuff to put enough people on. you know, the same way Issa gave me an opportunity, it's like it took her taking a risk on me, even though she was like, I've seen the progression. I know what this girl can do, but like HBO was not coming looking for Yvonne Orji at the, you know, X name comedy club, you know, or the African fashion show that I was hosting. It was like, who? Does she have an agent? No. Does she have a manager? No. What the heck? This is who you want to give this opportunity to? But I think it takes people who are in the driver's seat, who have gone to different places and been like, I see this and I want to do this so this person can get an opportunity, you know? So the fact that from Issa's vision, I'm able to now like be in a position to have a comedy special. Mm-hmm. Jay's now in a position for him to direct an episode. It's like one young Black woman's dream birthed so many other dreams. And I think that's just the beauty and the selflessness of like Issa, but also the dopeness of Insecure and HBO. It's like Prentice's movie, you know, Prentice was able to direct and then now he directed the feature. It's just like it catapulted everybody in such a beautiful way. And I think that's what art is supposed to do. Like, if your vision is only for you, your vision is so limited and so small. So, I want to create dope stuff to put the stories I want to tell out there, but also to give other people a shot to tell their stories.
Word. All right, Yvonne. Well, thank you very much for coming through. Your special, Mama, I Made It. June 6th on HBO. Yeah. Thank you.
And I got to give a shout out to Midlo because she did the, like I said, I'm real extra. She did the theme song. And then, you know, we're going to release the music video. By the time this airs, it already came out, music video for that. And it was just so special to have like a young female artist just made lyrics to this special. And I was like, I really do think I'm somebody's artist. I really do think I'm somebody's type woman. So if you hear the track, it wasn't me. It was an artist named Midlo and she ripped it.
That's dope. Thank you. Dope. Appreciate that, Yvonne.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Yvonne.
All right.
I don't want to sound like we propped up this conversation, Frazier, but shouts out to Yvonne. She's a good one. She's a good conversation. Very funny woman.
Yes. Real pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah. And again, hopefully, shouts out to our day ones, our weekly listeners. If you're feeling, you know, bogged down by, again, you know, what we were talking about earlier with the protests and everything going on across the country, hopefully, you know, that conversation we had with Yvonne could be a little bright spot in your day. Remember that you do have to take some time out for yourself as well. We all can multitask. You can be very incapacitated with what's going on in the world and still be able to catch up on Insecure or take some time to watch somebody progressing in their field. And Yvonne is a perfect example. I think she's got a great story. And after talking to her, I was really like, damn, I feel like she should be in more.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to see her, to see what she does with it.
I don't want to say like a Wayans level, but like put her in just like a real like front to back hilarious film, you know, maybe even a little goofy at times, you know.
Definitely. I mean, she can definitely play that up, and I think, you know, as she gets out there more doing press for this, and once people see the special, it'll really illuminate people to see like the breadth of her range, I think.
Facts, 100%. Again, that special, Yvonne Orji, Mama, I Made It, Saturday, June 6th, 10 p.m. on HBO. I believe they say it's on demand, Sunday, June 7th. I don't know what that means for HBO Max. I think we're all still trying to figure out at some point.
Who knows what an HBO Max is?
We're gonna have to have a conversation about HBO Max at some point. It won't be this week. Let us know how you guys are doing with HBO Max at Complex Pop on Twitter and Instagram. Are you enjoying HBO Max, Frazier? No?
I have not signed on yet.
Really?
Well, I signed on my computer, but I had HBO Go.
Oh.
Not now. So on...
This is a whole new experience for you then.
No, well, on the smart TV, I tried to download it, but the app is still reading as HBO Now.
Yes.
And I never had an HBO Now login. So there's nothing I can really do with it.
Just use mine.
Will that work?
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have to. I'm more annoyed that I have to.
You shouldn't have to, but I think we're going to have to do an episode about HBO Max.
You know how I get with technology. It's stubborn.
That was the...
Or any kind of fuck up.
That's the backdoor pilot to the HBO Max
Bougie episode. Bitrate.
Big facts. Frasier, Bougie Bitrate, Tharp. For Bougie Bitrate, Tharp, I'm Cal, advising you as always, please, 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 watch less podcasts every Wednesday, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a like, comment, subscribe, drop some reviews. Let the people know that you're rocking with us, because that's how we can give you more podcasts. And we appreciate it, but also we need you to boost the signal so the world knows what we've been doing over here consistently. Thanks again, Yvonne Orji. Special this Saturday, HBO, 10 p.m. As always, I'm Cal for Frasier Tharp, advising you to stay safe, whether you're out in the field keeping it real or just trying to get to Walmart to get your eggs. Stay safe as you can. We don't need to be losing anybody else this year. Tune in and watch less. Peace.
Peace.
Watch Less is hosted by Frasier Tharp and myself, Cal. Our producer is Taliba Newman. Associate producer and sound engineer is Jasmine Plata. Production manager, Chancel Correa. Talent booker, Anthony Allred. Junior booker, Austin Bailey. Our director of talent relations is Kristen Price Harrell. And our senior director of operations is Jen Stewart. Watch Less is a part of the Complex Podcast Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.